and welcome to Change Your Relationship with Food, the podcast hosted by me, Kyla Holly. With many years' experience as an eating disorder and bariatric therapist, I know exactly what it takes to help you break free from your diet history and develop a more healthy relationship with food. Please follow this podcast to make sure you don't miss a thing. It's podcast time, but I'm interested to know what else you're doing while you're listening to this podcast. Could it be that you are driving to work? Could it be that you are out on a walk and you've got this on your headphones? Perhaps this is on in the background while you do some housework. It's likely, though, that rather than just sitting and listening to this podcast, you're doing something else at the same time. And today I wanted to talk about what they call toxic productivity. And the reason why this is connected to our relationship with food is often we're so busy that we neglect self-care. And quite often, something that's at the base of our relationship with food is the fact that we ignore looking after ourselves, and certainly looking after ourselves through the use of food. The word busy is something that comes up all the time when I see people. And it can be that, for instance, I'm having monthly sessions with a client and I give them some sort of homework to do in between. And then they come back and they haven't done their homework. And what comes out is this excuse, oh, I've been so busy. And sometimes also when I meet people in the street, friends that I haven't seen for a while, we'll greet them in the street and they'll say, hey, how are you? How are you? And the reply comes, oh, I'm so busy. And this word comes up such a lot. We're so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. It's almost as if we've learned to really place a high value on busyness. It's often something that people almost seem to aspire to. And the problem is that this toxic productivity is actually hurting our physical and mental health. People are experiencing burnout because of this drive to be productive at all times. And it's not just in work, but it's actually in all areas of our life. Now, think what happened during the COVID-19 pandemic when a lot of us were forced to be at home. Rather than enjoying that as time off with our family and that sort of downtime relaxation, a lot of people felt that they had to do something to be productive. They learned how to bake, or they learned another language, or they took up painting. You know, something had to fill that time. And almost there's this kind of discomfort at actually being just us alone with ourselves. And when people aren't hitting these personal targets that they've reached about productivity and have to be busy, 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 what they actually feel is guilt. They feel guilty at taking time for themselves. They feel guilty at looking after themselves. And they feel guilty at prioritizing themselves. And this is where it really plays into our relationship with food. Because some of the ways I try and work with people do involve paying attention to those areas of our life. You know, how are you going to actually use food as a means of looking after yourself and making your life better and nourishing your body? And for a lot of people, there's a little bit of a feeling of guilt around that. Or how are you going to take time out to actually calm your nervous system down in order for you to function better? And the reply often comes, but I'm so busy. I can't do that. It's impossible. So this really is affecting our everyday lives, and it's not something that's clever. I don't know another word to say that, but I see lots of very intelligent people that come to me and they're caught on the busy train as if it's something that is a requirement of modern life. And unless they're busy all the time and every moment of every day is taken up with busyness and productivity, then somehow they're failing in life and they're slipping behind. This creates this whole dynamic of feeling like a failure, feeling like you're not enough, feeling as if you're not in control and you're not coping. And then guess what? People turn to food as a way to try and make themselves feel better, when quite often, you know, we've created the situation in the first place. So what leads to this toxic productivity? There's something called hustle culture. glorifying this day in, day out slog of working relentlessly to achieve success. And even we have to go back to Elon Musk that tweeted, this was a long time ago, nobody ever changed the world on 40 hours a week, giving you this idea that if you want to achieve something, and you could argue he's a man that's achieved quite a lot in his life, that you have to be constantly working. You can't have that happy work-life balance, because people that succeed ignore that. They just work on past it. And so I think we've come to the point where we've got to kind of go, well, hold on, can we somehow work smarter than work harder? And there's probably a lot of ways to do this that we are ignoring because we're so damn busy. We're not taking time to think about them. And it's not just work. Even in our downtime, this happens. Anybody that's on social media, and I'm guilty of this myself because I go on Instagram and get caught up in all those videos, a lot of them are about how to do things better. So how to clean your house better, how to organize your house better. The fact that your linen cupboard is meant to be stacked in size and there's containers for everything. The idea that we have to excel in every area of our life, even things like cooking and cleaning and things that are just something that's essential in life. These are areas that we could excel at. And there's a million and one videos to tell us how to do that. So how can you spot toxic productivity and see if you have it? Well, are you working extra hours on a regular basis? So normally, you know, you might do a few extra hours at work, but is this something that's happening regularly? That regularly you're working on weekends and you're catching up with emails once you've got home, or perhaps first thing in the morning as well? So is this something that's happening all the time in your life, that you don't have that boundary between work and play? Also, do you feel guilty about not getting enough work done? So even though you might be accomplishing a reasonable amount of tasks, are you striving to do an exceptional amount of work instead of just what's reasonable? And do you have unrealistic expectations and feel guilty if you fall behind them? Also, do you only want to do activities that have a clear purpose? So are there some things that you're doing that feel like they're unproductive? Time spent with friends and family, time just relaxing, time just going and sitting at the beach and looking out at the ocean. Do you sometimes find yourself describing those times in life as if you're wasting time, where you could be doing something more productive? Also, are you deprioritizing self-care if self-care seems like a waste of time to you? And this is a really important one. So if resting feels like a waste of time, if exercising and spending time with people that you love seems like a waste of time. And I get it a lot with relationships of food. People say, oh, I can't be bothered cooking a meal, it's a waste of time, I'll just get takeaway. And we turn to fast food for that very reason. We want it fast. We haven't got time to savour it. We haven't got time to sit down and eat. We haven't got time to cook in the first place. And these are all elements of self-care. So trying to be on, switched on all the time, can also take a serious toll on your mental well-being. So you might feel anxious about all the work you have to do and worry that you're not doing enough, you're not achieving enough. And also because of this, you know, people get depression and they feel disconnected and they get anxiety about what they're not doing. And there's that feeling of overwhelm and feeling burnt out as well. And often when I see people that come to me, this sense of overwhelm actually leads almost to what I call a paralysis in some ways, a kind of mental health paralysis, in that because you're so overwhelmed, you simply don't know what to do. So you just do nothing, but you know that it all feels just like too much. And so even though ironically you're feeling overwhelmed, it leads to you actually stalling and doing nothing and procrastinating a lot of the time. So these are all things that firstly, I just want you to be aware of. And as I say, the first step is to check in on what you're doing right now. What are you doing as you listen to this? Do you feel that it's a waste of time to just sit and listen? Do you have to be doing something else as well? And when you think about it, this podcast is called Change Your Relationship with Food. There's a reason why you're here. Something in that title made you switch on to the podcast. So you must on some level have some concerns about your relationship with food. And yet, those concerns that you've bothered to listen to a podcast about are obviously not great enough for you actually to give it your undivided time. So just think about that for a second. Even though you've identified something going on in your life that needs attention, you actually probably at the moment are not giving it your full attention because it feels like a waste of time. So this is a real act of lack of self-care. So let's turn this a little bit more positive and look at what we can do to break that cycle of toxic productivity. So, number one, work. Define your boundaries. If you've been working too hard for too long, you need to break that cycle and actually set boundaries and reclaim some of your free time. The irony is you will probably be more productive during your work hours if you have adequate downtime and adequate time to rest and digest and relax. So setting boundaries is super important, especially if you're someone that works from home, where your work life kind of morphs into your personal life a little bit because you're in the same environment. Set clear times to start and clear times to finish. And also really switch off when you've switched off work. So no checking your emails. If your phone pings, no reacting to it immediately. In fact, turn off the ping, turn off notifications. And also make your employer know this is what you're doing. Just say, I am setting boundaries for myself, for my own physical and mental health. This is what I feel is a wise thing to do. If you are a manager in a business, then maybe it's time that you were vocal about this to your workers as well. And don't expect people to respond to you outside of work hours. Take time off and encourage others to do so as well, because you may find that you have a happier and healthier team because of it. The next thing is to set realistic goals for yourself. Don't set goals that are out of reach. Don't set these high expectations that you know you're never actually going to reach, because all you'll be left with is this sense of being inadequate. And what we try and do is, the people that I work with, certainly, I try and set what I call sort of silly goals, stupid goals, goals that you know you're actually going to achieve. Because what happens over time, if you can look back on the day and actually go, yes, I did that, got that done. Yes, I did that. Yes, I did that. You're going to end your day with a sort of a feeling of accomplishment. And it actually leads into you developing what they call a positive bias. So this is really important for the way that your sort of outlook works with the world. And to develop this positive bias and to feel positive about yourself is a valuable skill to learn. And setting up these unrealistic goals will actually leave you with a sense of negativity about yourself, which in turn affects your mental health. Set some SMART goals. And by SMART goals, what we mean is that it's the what the initials stand for in the word SMART. So it's specific, measurable, achievable or attainable, realistic, and timely. So in other words, what is the goal? How are we going to measure it? Is it achievable? Can I do it? Is it realistic within that time frame? And also, is the time frame realistic for the goal? So we're basically saying, is it doable? And if it's doable, great. It's a SMART goal. Let's lock into it. And make it achievable so that, again, you can tick it off your list and have that sense of achievement. So be real with yourself as well. It's okay to sort of sit back and think you're Wonder Woman or Superman or something like that, but be realistic about what you can actually achieve within the time frame you've set without running yourself into the ground in the process. Also, when you're setting goals, actually set goals for times to actually rest. Stop work. That can be an actual goal for you, to rest, to have more family time. Those are just as valid goals in your life as the goals for achieving study and achieving work goals are. So putting in that buffer for breaks so that you can recharge along the way. And use these goals to prioritize the work you've got to do, because not everything is urgent, not everything is important. And the goals will help you prioritize what's important and things that can wait. Remember, build breaks into your schedule. Everybody needs rest, and scheduling breaks is a great way to ensure you are actually taking the time off when you need it. So it may seem counterintuitive, but taking breaks actually boosts productivity in the long term. It helps you focus and it helps you be more creative. What we need is, you know, some big breaks where you say, let's go away for the weekend, or let's take a day off and take the kids to the zoo, or let's take a day off and check ourselves into a spa. We also need sort of smaller breaks as well, sometimes 1 or 2 hours a week, where we just say, you know what, I'm going to just read a book, or I'm going to just do some painting, or I'm going to take that time off to walk on the beach. And also, we need a number of breaks per day. Taking time off to make yourself a cup of tea, have a stretch, have a 10-minute relaxation period before you get back into the busyness again. Try and learn, this is a big one, to do nothing and see how comfortable it feels. Now, I'm not going to go off on a big tangent on this, but a lot of people that I see in their relationship with food, they find they actually eat for what they call boredom. And what they define as boredom is that sense of, I've got nothing to do and I feel I must be doing something. So what can I do? Oh, okay, I'll eat something. We have to learn as humans to just be a person with nothing to do for 10 minutes or half an hour. I know this sounds so simple and I'm actually laughing as I say it, but it's actually surprisingly difficult, especially for those of us who've built ourselves into this toxic productivity. Taking time out for yourselves, actually sitting there and doing nothing. You can start by timing it. Set a timer for 5 minutes and say, in 5 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I'm just going to sit here. And you will be very surprised how long 5 minutes is of sitting doing nothing. And try to actually build that time up. So do the 5 minutes, and then tomorrow set the alarm or the timer for 6 minutes. 6 minutes of doing nothing. Just getting your thoughts in order, just relaxing your body and having time to actually do nothing at all. And I think you'll find that building that comfort with being yourself, being alone, having nothing to do, will actually help for those of you that describe yourself as boredom eaters. Also, we need to deal with our underlying feelings, because this toxic productivity is often sort of a manifestation of negative feelings which we haven't addressed. And if you really want to break the cycle with this, you actually have to identify what's going on underneath. What are these feelings that are going on? Because often, productivity or busyness is a distraction that we use to distract ourselves from the negative feelings that we're having. And we want to learn to sit with our feelings in a much more comfortable and healthy way, rather than trying to ignore them by being hyperproductive. So they could be feelings of fear of failure. You know, I'll fail if I'm not busy all the time and I don't appear to be constantly striving for my goals. It could be fear of imposter syndrome. a lot of us have achieved things that maybe we feel, ooh, you know, am I the most clever person in the room? Should I have achieved this success? And because of that lack of really feeling that we've earned it, we decide that if we just look busy all the time, it will look as if we've earned it. So feelings of guilt about not accomplishing enough, comparing yourself to others, again, you know, if I look busy, then people will believe that I'm a good person, that I'm a productive person and a worthwhile person. Or it could be just that you're experiencing a lot of stress and you feel that the way to deal with stress is not to sit and do nothing. Surely you must be doing something. And again, that in turn often causes a lot more stress. Now, the last one, and this is a difficult one, is take a break from your smartphone and from all sorts of tablets and TVs and computers. I know they're essential and they're an essential part of modern life, but we don't need them all the time. I promise it is possible to put the phone down occasionally. It is possible to ignore it when it goes ping or bleep or bloop or whatever noise you've programmed your phone to make. And it is possible to escape from that phone when you are off the clock. Especially, please don't sleep with the phone next to you. Leave it in another room. Actually switch off, go into another room to sleep at night. Because a lot of people complain about not sleeping well. And then when you get into these discussions, you find that their phone is right next to them in the bedroom, bleeping and vibrating and sending you messages from overseas and doing whatever it does in notifications overnight. And quite often people are actually leaving the notifications on and constantly getting interrupted sleep because of these devices. Phones are great, devices are great, social media is all great in a particular setting. However, we have to learn to switch off. So take a break from it, put it in your bag, put it in a drawer, get it out of sight, or better still, actually go for a walk or something and leave the phone behind and see how you deal with that feeling of maybe, you know, feeling a little bit of anxiety around it. And if you are feeling that anxiety, question that. Is that a good thing? Should you actually be feeling anxious about leaving a device for 10 or 15 minutes? It requires a long look at who we are to get the answer to that one. Phones do have a do not disturb mode. You can disable notifications and you can create little zones in your house where they're tech free, like the bedroom and like the bathroom, for instance. And also go through and delete apps that you don't need, messaging apps, things that are going to send you notifications and things like that. The purpose of this podcast really is sort of saying, look, we all work hard. We all want to achieve things in life. We all want to make people proud. We all want to feel as if we are accomplishing good things. However, the time might have come to work smarter and not harder, especially if we are neglecting self-care due to this toxic productivity and busyness. And also catch yourself, you know, next time you are chatting to a friend and they say, hey, how have you been? Try and avoid saying the word busy, because I hear it so much. And quite often, the people I hear it the most from is the people that really aren't looking after themselves and the people that have come to me in the first place because of their concerns about their mental and physical health. So, thanks so much for listening. Until next time. Thank you so much for your company today. I would also love it if you could follow this podcast. It really does mean a lot to me. Also, we have a 6-week online Change Your Relationship with Food course that you can take. Just visit www.acfeb.com and click on the ACFEB and Me courses link. There's also a journal and a workbook available on Amazon, and you'll find that link in our bio. I really hope you can join me again next week. Goodbye.